Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you doing today? Good. Good to see you. Thanks. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the salvation of a man with an evil spirit. So I usually feel a little bit nervous at the start, so if you can help calm me down, let's call on the name of the Lord seven times together. That'll really help me. So
amen.
Let's call on his name together. Begin.
Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Amen. I lost count, but that's helped a lot. Thanks very much. Okay, so today it's called The Salvation of a Man with an Evil Spirit. So let's read today's Bible text together. Have you got it on the screen?
No, it's not.
Okay.
So you use the
Okay, so it's quite a long reading, but let's read our Bible text together. Here it is. It's Mark 5:1, so let's begin. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Amen. Can I stop now? I'm tired. Okay. So we're looking at the salvation of a man with an evil spirit. So the first important point, the first very important thing we need to know is that this man with the evil spirit, he was not a Christian. He was not a saved believer. It's very important to know that, because a non-believer, they can be completely controlled by the devil and evil spirits, whereas a believer, we can only be attacked by the devils and the evil spirits. So we can have spiritual attack, but we should not be completely possessed by the devil and the demons. And that's according to the verse 1 John 4:4, which says, "He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world."
Amen.
So the living Jesus in our spirit is greater, has more authority, more power than the devil who is in the world.
Amen.
So if we ever find ourselves losing some of our freedom, some control, there's only one reason for it, is we've been deceived by the devil, because he has no power, no authority over us whatsoever.
Amen.
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 So from the verses we've just read, we can see that there are seven characteristics of a person with an evil spirit. But I think we missed one out, because this morning when I went back to my apartment, I saw there was a man in my shelter, and he was eating bondegi, which is silkworm larva, and he was eating it with noodles. So I'm pretty sure that's another characteristic of someone who's possessed with an evil spirit. And that was my brother Mark. So thanks for helping today, Mark. So, okay, well, yeah, there's seven characteristics. So the first one, the seven characteristics. The first one, number one, is you can smell the bondegi. Yeah, the first one, number one, is dirtiness. So an evil spirit, it's also called an unclean spirit. So if you're possessed, controlled by an evil spirit, you're going to think unclean things, you're going to talk dirty, you're going to act badly. And one of the results, you may be physically dirty as well. So, and this, it cannot be cleaned by religious activities or teaching or doctrine. That cannot clean you from it. Point number two of the characteristics of somebody who's possessed by an evil spirit is no freedom. We know that the scriptures say, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But where there's an evil spirit, there's no freedom whatsoever. We've got spiritual bondage, spiritual chains, spiritual oppression. Especially one of the signs is going to be addictions. You're addicted to something. It could be alcohol, drugs, sex, gambling, whatever it is. You have no power. You're completely controlled. You cannot get set free from it. So it's like when Paul said, he said, "I do not understand what I do. The good that I want to do, I don't do. But the evil that I don't want to do, this I keep on doing." So that's a sign. Point number three is similar. It's you've got no control over yourself whatsoever. We know that one of the fruits of the spirit is self-control. But the fruit of being possessed by an evil spirit is a complete loss of control. You're totally possessed, totally controlled by the evil spirit. So some of the fruits of that can be a brutal temper, losing your temper, violence, evil desires, basically just living like an animal. And I'm sure some of us have been there in our lives, unfortunately. Point number four is the man wanted to dwell in the tomb. So one of the signs is dwelling in a tomb or another crazy place. So we know that a tomb represents a place of death. It's a place for the dead. So this man, he was not born again. He was not saved. So his spirit was dead, completely dead. So naturally, he's going to be drawn to a place of death. So that's another one. Point number five, there is... the man was crying out in a loud voice. So the man, he was in a state of torment. He was in a state of torture. He was in like a state of agony. But if a man's in his right mind, in a sound mind, they can be timid and softly spoken. But when the evil spirit possesses a person, they become loud with no shame. For example, we've all seen people who are very drunk and they're loud, with noisy and loud, no shame. So that's another characteristic. So if you've got these seven characteristics in your life that I'm describing every day, then you should be very worried. We should be very worried if we've got these characteristics in our life. Okay, number six, the man, he was taking his clothes off and he was cutting himself with stones and he felt no shame whatsoever. So it's quite similar. So the fruit is to just do crazy things, absolutely crazy things, not worrying about the consequences, not thinking about consequences, feeling no shame, feeling no remorse, like having no conscience whatsoever. Just for an example, people in the world who they haven't received Christ yet, they may lose everything through gambling, their house, their family, but it doesn't bother them. It doesn't touch their conscience. So crazy behavior, and this world, it's really full of evil spirits, the world. So we've got to be ready with Jesus all the time. And the last point is point number seven. Now this point is the most important point of the man with the evil spirit. Now this man, he had no personal relationship with Jesus. He had no spiritual oneness with Jesus. He hadn't been spiritually born again. His spirit was not one in spirit with Jesus, the living spirit. But the scary thing was, he knew about Jesus. He knew about him intellectually, but he didn't know him in his spirit. So it's a warning for all of us. You've got to really check. It's like where it says in Matthew, Jesus said, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven."
Amen.
Now, when I was a brand new Christian, it took me many years to understand that verse, because I would read that verse when I was a new Christian, and quite frankly, I would need to go to the toilet quite soon after. It terrified me, that verse. And my reaction, I would go off and I would work and I would work and I would strive and I would do works. Like, I would live like a Jew or a Muslim. I would just strive and strive to enter into the kingdom by my own works. But after some years, a Christian pastor, he led me to a verse about the will of God. And it's John 6:29. And it said, somebody asks Jesus, they say, he's talking about the works of God, and somebody asked Jesus, he said, "Lord, what do we need to do the work God wants us to do?" And Jesus answered, he said, "The work of God is this, it's to believe in the one he sent."
Amen.
And we know from John 1:12 that to believe is to receive.
Amen.
So the primary will of God that we must do is to receive the living spirit of Jesus into our spirit.
Amen.
And then as we're walking in Christ, we've got to choose to live in that spirit instead of living in the soul.
That's
right. So that was a big revelation a few years back. And so the scary point from that last one, number seven, is that we can know about Jesus intellectually but not have the personal relationship with him. So let's check ourselves, examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And I'm preaching to myself here as much as anyone else. So moving on to the conclusion. So what can we conclude from the beginning of the verse that we read today? Well, it's this, if we have not accepted the spirit of Jesus into our spirit, then we belong to the devil. And we've been taken captive by the devil to do his will. Our minds are completely blinded. Our minds are completely darkened. And our thoughts are absolutely worthless, completely futile. And we can be fully possessed and controlled by demons if we haven't received Christ. So it's a very scary truth, and it's very sobering. But the good news is, it leads us to the only cure. And we all know what the cure is. It's Jesus Christ. We need the God who has authority over the devil and who has authority over the demons to come into our spirit as life. Jesus is the only cure for demon possession for the non-Christian. and Jesus Christ. He's the only shield of protection from the spiritual attacks that we get as believers from the devil and his demons. So the key point is, you know, if you're here today and you haven't received Jesus Christ, then it's something we must do before we die. We've got to be transferred from being a child of the devil to become a child of the God.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to introduce my brother, who's going to tell us the beginning process of how to do that. He's going to talk about when Jesus approaches the man with the evil spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, this is a good news. A good news for the man who had been living in a tomb, in a place of the dead, for many, many years. We are not told how many, but he had been living there. But as we can read from this scripture, as you can read, Jesus knew this man. This man knew Jesus, as we can see. On verse 2, we see when Jesus got out the boat, and on verse 18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, we see here Jesus coming from far, took a boat, crossed the sea up to this place, near a tomb, because this man was living in a tomb. And after all Jesus he did the encounter with this man with the evil spirit, we see on verse 18, Jesus getting into the boat. He's going back. What we realized here, Jesus had came for one and only one mission.
Amen.
From far,
yes.
With his disciples, he took a boat,
yes.
For one purpose.
Amen.
Just to save, to set free one man.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jesus says in Luke 19:10, he says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Amen.
The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
Amen.
This man was dead. He was living in a place of the dead for many years. But Jesus just left all the people, the sick people, but he knew this man is his days of salvation. That is the day for him to be served. Alright?
Amen.
I wish you and I, you can say like Paul. Like Paul. Paul says to his son Timothy, he says in Timothy 1:15, he says, "This is the trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners."
Amen.
"And I am war, and I'm the worst of them all."
Amen.
You know, even me, Richard, I was the single sinner in this world. Jesus was to come because of me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You and I here, just put your shoes into this guy. He had been living in a tomb. Tomb is a crazy place, where, as the brother has explained it. It's not a place to live. He has been tormented by evil spirit for many years, crying out, was out of himself. But this day, Jesus came and find him, all right? That means that the gospel is when Jesus finds you. The gospel has no meaning if it is not applied to you. The Jesus coming has no meaning. It is not applied to you, right?
Amen.
If you don't receive the salvation, this Jesus in your spirit, it has no meaning. And Colossians 2:13 says, you were dead because of your sins. And because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God came, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins.
Amen.
That's a fact. That's fact. We were all dead.
Amen.
Romans 3:26 says, all have sinned. You know, sin brought death.
Right.
In our spirit, we were dead. Everyone is born dead.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
But Jesus, when he came and took in the body, the flesh from Mary, he became God man.
Amen.
And he died, rose again.
Amen.
And he became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
When you believe in him, you receive him, your spirit is born. You receive the life,
Amen.
Eternal life actually.
Amen.
And we were dead in our sins, in our sin. But God made us alive with Christ. When Jesus resurrected, when Jesus rose again from the dead, he left with a new life, a life-giving spirit. We were there. What we have to do today is to receive it.
Amen.
To receive it, right?
Amen.
We were there. How can we be served, accepting his word? The word of Jesus is powerful. When he talked to this man on verse 8, come out of this man, you evil spirit. When Jesus said this word, all the evil spirit immediately left.
Amen.
The word of Jesus is powerful.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The word of Jesus is powerful.
Amen.
This word made this evil spirit to leave immediately. You remember, the word of Jesus powerful over everything, over evil spirit here, over storms. Back in this same chapter, same book, Mark 4, previously, Jesus, when they were crossing that sea, the same sea, the storm came over. Stop this man, the disciples and Jesus. He said to the storm, be still, be quiet. Immediately, the storm kept quiet.
Amen.
The sea became quiet.
Amen.
That means everything respects Jesus' word.
Yes.
You remember when the Lazarus in John 8:11, when Lazarus was in tomb for 3 days, when Jesus came, Lazarus with his word came out from the tomb.
Yeah.
Immediately, Lazarus rose again.
Amen.
That's the word of Jesus.
Yes.
Is powerful.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
Piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning or judging the thoughts and intention of all hearts.
Amen.
The word of God is powerful.
Amen.
The word of Jesus is powerful.
Amen.
When it's spoken, the chains are broken.
Amen.
That's how we were singing.
Yeah.
The chains are broken.
Amen.
People are being free.
Amen.
Now today, when you receive the word of Jesus in your spirit, it will even change our soul. And our soul will be alive, and we will act in the right mind. When you have been, you cannot control yourself, but by receiving the word, by accepting the word in your spirit, it will change even your soul.
Amen.
And you will be able to control yourself. You will even know the mind of God, the will of God.
Amen.
James 1:21 says, therefore, Rid yourselves of everything impure and every expression of wickedness, and with a gentle spirit, welcome the word planted in you that can save your souls.
Amen.
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 You know, the word of God is like a seed that grows and bears fruits. When we receive the word of God in our spirit, our soul can be transformed by the new spirit, even into the image of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
From glory to glory.
Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, I invite you today to welcome the word.
Amen.
With a gentle spirit.
Amen.
It will change your mind, as it did to this guy who had been living in a crazy place, in a tomb for many years. It will change us. Let's receive it with a gentle spirit.
Amen.
May the Lord be praised.
Amen.
Now I welcome my brother,
amen,
Paul, to talk about the fruits, the results of the gospel, of receiving the word of Jesus.
Amen.
Good job, brother. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Passionate preacher. Amen. Passionate preacher. Steve, you did a good job too.
Yeah,
wonderful. Very eloquent speaker. My brother, Fokpa. Please, I want to see your eyes. Amen. Much better, brother. Thank you. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Everybody say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Louder. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just lift your hand. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why are you not raising your hand? Raise your hand. Let me see. Alright. Why this group is not raising your hand? You have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. Alright, praise the Lord. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these are the results. Okay? I'm going to talk about three results. Okay? The results of receiving salvation. Number one, put the cloth on. Put the cloth on. This man with the evil spirit was naked and felt no shame. But after met Christ, he put the cloth on. Hallelujah. And this cloth is cloth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Now if you have accepted Jesus Christ, you have cloth of Jesus Christ. We call it cloth of righteousness. Amen. Now look at this, Galatians 3:27. You have it. Wow, praise the Lord. This is back. This is back. Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
Or the time.
Amen. I sat down there and I prayed, Lord Jesus. Come on, Lord Jesus. And it came. Amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4:13 says, I believe, therefore I spoke. Amen. You speak what you believe. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Galatians 3:27. Begin. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with
Christ.
With Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You have clothed yourself with Christ. Okay? Listen. This is what it means. You are clothed with Jesus Christ. This is what it means. Going back to the Old Testament, you know the story of Noah's Ark? Noah built the ark, right? And when he built the ark, that was God told Noah to paint the pitch, okay, inside and outside. That word pitch, okay, is referring to signifies the blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus was applied in and out of the boat. So then when there was a flood, the water symbolized death. The death was not able to enter into that Noah's boat. So whoever was in that boat, the Noah's family, right? Eight of them, they all got saved because they were inside the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you know that you are under the blood of Jesus?
Yes.
This is what I mean. You put the cloth of Jesus Christ, you are under the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And there's a power in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you're born again.
Amen.
You're a new creation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the end time, we want to overcome our enemies, right? You want to become overcomers in the end time. And Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 talks about three things that we can become overcomers. Number one, blood of Jesus. Number two, the word of testimony. Number three, we need to deny our soul. But it begins with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We overcome the devil with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, we are under the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, now I want to give you this example, so this might help you a little bit more. Okay? Now, do you like my suit?
Sure.
Do you like my suit? Yeah. If you don't like it, I will not give it to you. Okay? Yeah, this is a very nice suit, isn't it?
Yeah.
You like it, huh? Okay, you better like it. I'm begging you to like it. All right, listen. So, it's like you have a very nice suit, right? So, as soon as you believe in Jesus Christ, you're covered by the blood of Jesus and you have put the robe of righteousness. But, here is the tragedy. Many people, they have a robe of righteousness and all upon that robe of righteousness, they put dirty clothes again. And they have become actually the prince, right? They have become a children of God, but they are wearing another dirty worldly, secular cloth all upon that robe of righteousness, and they live like this man with an evil spirit. Actually, they live in the tomb. This should not be. We don't belong to tomb anymore. We belong to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now we need to put off. We need to put off and put on. The Bible says, put off and put on. We put off the old self and put on the new self. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is a new self. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, second thing is, right mind. Right mind. Now, this man, before met Jesus Christ, his mind was not right. His mind was off. He was a mindless person. Now, this we're living in the end time, and our mind is, the people's mind is so off. People's mind is so unbalanced. They are so crazy with many things. They're consumed with so many things. They think all the time. What do they think about? Now, just check yourself maybe. This past week, what have you thought about? What is the major thing that you're thinking about in your mind? I'll tell you something. The right mind has to do with Jesus Christ. If you're thinking Jesus all the time, you have right mind. Hello?
Amen.
If you're thinking about Jesus all the time, you have right mind.
Amen.
So after born again, your mind should be connected and your mind should be consumed with the mind of Christ. It is normal, I will teach some to church this afternoon. It is normal to think normal, right? Normal. It is normal to think about Christ every day. It is abnormal to not to think about Jesus. Hello?
Yeah.
If you are a born again Christian, you will think about Jesus every day.
Amen.
Every day and every hour. When you wake up in the morning, you think about Jesus. It is normal to call on His name every day and every second, every minute. It is normal. Oh, Lord Jesus, how Satan is playing with the world, even with the believers, how the Satan is playing with the mind. No wonder the Bible says, take captive of every thought. Take captive of every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We need to take captive. Amen. So to help you to understand this word, I want you to follow my action here now. Okay?
All right. Now we got to take captive. So here. All right, your mind. All right? Take captive. Make it obedient to Christ. All right? One more time. Come on. Take captive. Obedient to Christ. One more time. Come on.
Yeah.
One, two,
Why not do it? Obey is better than sacrifice. Come on, step one. You do this, you will remember. You will help you to remember better. You understand? I like you, brother. You are obeying. Very good. Ready? Now don't do it here. Do it here. All right, ready? Take captive, captive. Obey to Christ. Alright? Okay, now the Satan is giving you the negative thought. Okay? The hatred thought is coming now. The Satan is shooting the arrow of hatred. Ready? Go! What do I do? Come on! Ready? Come on! The Satan is shooting negative thoughts, okay? The judging thoughts, come on! What do I do? Amen. The Satan is shooting hatred thought of your brother and sister. Go ahead. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bible says, take captive of every thought, all thoughts, not some thoughts. Make sure you have to check your thought. Is this coming from the Lord or coming from the devil?
It is normal to think Jesus all the time. It is abnormal to not to think about Jesus. Are you normal or abnormal? Go ask the person next to you. Brother, are you normal or abnormal? Ask this question. Are you thinking about Jesus all the time or are you not thinking about Jesus? Huh? Are you thinking about your girlfriend and boyfriend all the time and not thinking about Jesus all the time? Are you thinking about money? Maybe you may be thinking about your money all the time. How much do I have in the bank? You count the money all the time and not thinking about Jesus all the time? Oh Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us. And here, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. What is Romans chapter 12, verse 2? No, before. Okay, ready? Loud voice, one voice, please, church. Go ahead, begin.
And do not.
Amen. Now, how many of you want to be transformed? You want to be transformed? Yeah? You want to be half transformed? Half, like this. You want to be 20% transformed? Maybe. You want to be 100% transformed?
200.
That's 200 right there. Amen. You got to show, express your heart to Jesus. Amen. My sister Vili, you are doing very good at Overflowing Church. Since you came to Korea, you're being very expressive. Hallelujah. You're not that expressive when you're back in home, right? Right? Pastor Toki, do you testify?
Right.
What do you think? Is she expressive? Even today, when she came here and then dancing, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe my eyes. Do you believe your eyes? Huh?
Because I was there.
Oh, because you were there?
Because I was there.
Oh, you were taking picture. And you sent it back to India. There will be revelation there. They all want to come here and learn the freestyle.
Freestyle.
I mean, really, really. She's changing. She's being transformed. You want to be transformed? Mark, you want to be transformed? Yes? Say it. No, say it. You want to be transformed? Amen.
Amen.
Amen is better. You want to be transformed? Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, be transformed by renewing of your mind. If your mind is not changed, forget about transformation. Forget about life changing. Listen. I don't care if you cry and shed tears during worship. I don't care if there's a fire in your heart. I don't care if there's a moving of your heart. I don't care if there's a joy and peace. I don't care. I do care, of course. What I'm trying to say is, if you have all those things, great things, and yet your mind is not changed, then you are the same person. You go back home and you see your life will not change. What God wants from you today is that your mind will be changed. A man with an evil spirit, his mind was crazy. Some believers, their mind is still crazy. Crazy things. They think about crazy things. Huh? They think about abnormal things. Oh, Lord Jesus. May our mind be filled with Jesus. Look at this verse now. Look at this verse.
Mark 12:30. Okay, ready? Ready? Begin. And you shall love the Lord your God from your whole heart and from your
whole soul
and from your whole mind and from your whole strength. Amen.
Amen.
Bible says, this is the greatest commandment. This is the greatest commandment. There's a great commandment. There's a greatest commandment. And this is the greatest commandment. God says, love me with your heart and soul and your mind. If your body can be in this sanctuary and yet your mind is dozing off, your mind is somewhere else, that's not worship. That's not acceptable worship. Oh Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. You worship God with your mind focus. Amen? With your mind focus. In the morning when you get up, your mind focus on Jesus. Amen? Don't take your mind focus on the bank. Huh? Mind focus on Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Sing with me. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Lord Jesus. Focus your mind, my brothers and sisters. Satan will play with your mind. I'll tell you, I repeated this so many times. The only way Satan can get entered into you is through your mind. If you close your mind to Satan, Satan has no way to come into you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our mind and Christ's mind should be joined together, become one mind. Amen.
Amen.
Not just one spirit, I challenge you, including myself, not just one spirit, but one mind. Who is a happy couple? Husband and wife? Husband and wife? Which couple is happy? Their spirit is one. Their heart is one. Their mind is one.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I can look into my wife Rachel. I can look into her eyes and I can tell what she's thinking. Do you want to bet? Do you want to test?
Okay.
She likes it. I can test right now. You want to test? Okay. Honey, look at me. You were thinking about Jesus. I see.
Next two.
I'm smart. Oh my goodness. If a couple lives together and you know, although they have the same spirit, because they believe in Jesus Christ, but their mind is off. Husband's mind is here, east. Wife's mind is west. That's not a happy couple. Okay, Lord, just let me go to the third one, the last one, okay? What is the result of this receiving salvation, receiving Jesus? The third one, set on the feet of Jesus. Look at this, Luke chapter 10, verse 39 to 42. What happened to that scripture? Got cut. Oh, there is. Ready? Let's read together. Begin. She had a sister called Mary, and who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus is saying to Martha, 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 you are upset and worry about many things. Hello, church. Are you worried about many things? Are you worried about visa? Are you worried about immigration?
Okay.
Are you worried about immigration? You remember there's a brother from Myanmar, right? Remember Pastor Jackson? He was illegal for 10 years. And he was invisible to immigration. Hello? Oh, there was a brother who said yesterday, TLS, the seminary, he shared testimony that God didn't make a mistake to make you come to Korea. Amen?
Amen.
God didn't, to bring you to Korea, it was not God's mistake. And God protects you. Hallelujah?
Amen.
God indeed protects you. Amen? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
What you need to worry about is only one thing. Only one thing is needed. To sit on the feet of Jesus Christ and to eat His word. To eat the life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, if you have Jesus inside you, you have everything. Because He is all-inclusive Christ.
He's all-inclusive Christ.
You have Jesus, you have everything. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. The most beautiful thing in life is that you can taste the kingdom of God. You can taste the New Jerusalem now here on earth by sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Listen, I want to emphasize this, and I'll end my message here. I'm almost done now. The Korea life in Korea is so busy. I know. As a foreigner, you have to work and you have to study, and it's so busy. But let's not come before God and bring excuses. Oh, I'm so busy, blah blah blah. No. You have to prioritize your life. If you are too busy not to pray, then indeed you are too busy, and that's not how God made you. Remember how Satan is tempting the believers. Remember back in Egypt, when God told Moses, hey, go to Pharaoh and tell him to release my people from Egypt so they can worship me. And then Pharaoh says, make them more busier with making bricks for my glory, for my building the city, my city. So Satan was making Israelite people more busy to make bricks for Pharaoh. Do you understand? The temptation of Satan is that you become more busy and busy in this world. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't be too busy for the Lord. You have to secure your quiet time, the morning revival. Hallelujah. You have to secure with your life because your life depends on it. Hallelujah. We say with our mouth, Jesus Christ is reality and everything else is shadow. What are you holding on to? Is it shadow or reality? Hello? The money you're earning, the health you have, the family you have, your husband or wife. Praise God for them. Praise God for everything. But I tell you, when Jesus Christ comes back, or when you die, it all vanishes. It all finishes. It all disappears. Only Jesus Christ remains. So spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. Hallelujah. Now you belong to small groups, right? Small group leaders, would you raise your hand? Small group leaders, where are you? Small group leaders, listen, you have your Kakao Talk, your own Kakao Talk, right? Your Kakao Talk room, right? Kakao Talk room, do you have?
Yes.
Share quiet time. Every morning, share quiet cutie. Every morning, you share your meditation. And everybody share. That's how we make our church abundant, overflowing with God's blessings. Hallelujah. Oh, let's not just meet on Sunday and then, dance and celebrate. No, come on, brothers and sisters. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifices. Amen. Living sacrifices. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the result of receiving Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Before sleep, you pray. When you wake up, you pray. When you wake up, you read. You eat the Word of God. This is the most important thing. And then Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is better. I pray you choose what is better. Every day, you choose Jesus. In the morning, you choose Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
On the afternoon, you choose Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Before you sleep, you choose Jesus.
Amen.
For He is all in all.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, let's sing this song in the morning. Just, just sit down. So relax. Relax. Let's sing this song. And just really cry out from your spirit. Give me Jesus. I need Jesus. Because Jesus will free me from tomb. Jesus will free me from all these bondages of sin and death and darkness. Only Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. Oh, we need you.